Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. My name is Mark Striegel. I'm so glad you can join us on this episode. It's another Metal Wraps. Again, this is a show I do with Mitch Joel and Mitch LaFon. I am now putting it out over the Talking Metal feed here. In addition to its own separate feed on iTunes. So if you don't like it and you're a Talking Metal listener, don't listen. If you do like it and maybe you are sick of Talking Metal and you just want to get Metal Wraps, you can go subscribe to it individually on iTunes. That's that. And anyways, again, this is the most recent edition of Metal Wraps on the Talking Metal stream. Check out TalkingMetal.com for more information. Thank you.
Well, hey there, everybody, and welcome to Metal Wraps number 19. My name is Mitch Joel, and as always, I am joined by Talking Metal's Mark Striegel. Mark, how's it going?
It's going good, Mitch.
Good. And also with one-on-one and Mitch LaFon. Mitch LaFon.
Yeah, here I am, the one-on-one guy.
The welcome. One-on-one with Mitch LaFon. Mitch LaFon.
That's right.
Who have you had on the show recently, Mitch?
Oh, Mickey D from Motorhead. And we've got John Bush coming up tomorrow, Rudy Sarzo, Frankie Bello coming up. Who else? Rudolf Schenker not too long ago. Just keep going, moving on.
Well, you mentioned them. Mickey D, was this prior to Motorhead cancellations?
You know, the first show they canceled was in Salt Lake City on, I guess, August 27th. And I spoke to him on the bus at the Salt Lake City show, so before it all started going down. So I was on the ground floor asking him about Lemmy's health, and he was like, yeah, he's great. And then, of course, 2 hours later, they do three songs and call it a day. So there you go.
So he didn't make any comments as to Lemmy's health? Because Lemmy's health has been talked about for a bit prior to the sort of onslaught of cancellations. You know, we're here now.
Right, and the cancellations in the past.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just if you see the videos, which I think most of us have seen these videos of Lemmy from Motorhead, it's hard to watch. I mean, this is I think we've all sort of seen people go through things like altitude sickness and stuff like that. Lemmy looks like not great.
Right. Yeah. No mention of that, but it makes sense. You know, whenever somebody in a band is sick, there's a whole PR machine about don't talk about it. Just do the show. Just, you know.
But they're not doing the show. These shows are being canceled, and not that it's problematic because they're being canceled. My sort of angle on this is, one is this guy needs to get better, and I don't know what better is because you know it's not like Lemmy was sort of a picture of health. The guy lives really, really hard. So one is this guy needs to get better, get back to who he was. Two is, you know, we're seeing bands like Black Sabbath and Motley Crue call it a day. I love Lemmy, and I know there's the old joke, you know, he died doing what he loves most, but I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, you know, it's time, I think, for Lemmy to call it a day, and I don't know exactly why he is still out there doing it. And you know, listen, he's not doing cocaine every day anymore, and he's not drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels. However, he still smokes and drinks a bottle of wine every day. This isn't the guy at this point. It 70 plus years, who's going to change his lifestyle. So why not just retire, call it a day, go back to the, you know, studio apartment there on right down the street from the Rainbow and drink some wine and again,
become an attraction. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's time. I mean, it's sad to watch him go out there and try to do it. And let's just leave it at that. There's no point in, you know, extending this any longer.
Look, there's a couple things that I think about when I see things like that. One is, and again, let's put aside the health. Why does he still do it? It's all he knows.
Is it the money?
Yeah, well, that's it, right? So money is one. Does he have to do it? Is it just the way he lives? It's not a great life that we all sort of anticipate for rock stars. Two is, it's just what he knows. Like, all he knows how to do is make albums and go out on tour. And if he doesn't have that, it's almost like admitting to retirement. And while it's easy for us to sit here, you know, in our comfy couches and say retire, for a lot of people, when it's all you know how to do, it's a really hard existence. And that's, you know, a lot of people, that's when they actually really do start dying, because they stop doing what they know or what they love. And I that's the hard part about celebrity. It's the hard part about being a legend. It's the hard part about being Lemmy, which is, you know, I don't think any of us want to see this guy go out on a low. At the same time, he may be fighting himself in this instance, where he just wants to keep on going because he knows nothing else. And, you know, that's where I feel it's really sad. And to me, I don't know about how you guys feel. It's the hardest part about being a metal fan now. It's seeing a lot of this where you're like, yeah. Just, you know, it's just hard to see, whether it's people dying, people getting sick. There's a lot of sort of like the energy of what the music is getting sucked out of it almost. I don't know if that's a fair statement. I don't know, Mitch, how you feel about it.
No, you're about right. I mean, you remember them as being these sort of glorious warriors, and now they're just sort of limping off into the sunset. But, you know, it's the way it goes. And as far as why he hasn't retired, I don't think you can retire from being creative. It's not like retiring right. from the city. You know, when you retire from the city, you don't fill potholes anymore. It's okay, great, I can live with that. But how can you not write music? I mean, that stuff is in your head. And you can't just retire from not wanting to put pen to paper.
Yeah, is it possible he has absolutely no savings and retirement isn't an option? I mean, I hate to, you know, be, you know, well, the negative, but I would believe that.
But look at B.B. King. Look at Chuck Berry. Look at these people. They're, you know, look at the Rolling Stones. I mean, you know, Keith Richards looks like walking death, but he doesn't need the money. They can't put it down.
Mitch, I think it's a really salient point that when you're creative, you're creative. Or if it's sort of just playing music is who you are, you take that away. He's right. Right, Mark? Like, it's like if you said to Lemmy, well, just go and be an attraction at the Rainbow. It's like, that's not who he is at the Rainbow. All he's talking about is when he's going to go next on tour. That's all the guy knows for 50 plus years.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why you have actors, you know, like Bob Newhart, he's still going around, and Don Rickles and Harrison Ford. Creative people can't just retire. It's not like being an accountant. You go, you know what? I'm done with this. I need to go sit on a beach somewhere. They don't do that.
Well, and so what's the other side of this? I mean, let's talk about, you know, things that have happened recently. So fine, Motley Crue as an entity has called it a day. I know that we all believe all the guys will surface somewhere at some point doing something. Sabbath calling it the end.
Look, can I correct you on the Motley Crue? All they've said, and they've repeated it, is that they're going to stop being a touring band. They've never said they're going to stop being a band, and they never said they're going to stop doing shows. They said they might do a show in Vegas or a special show in, you know, Paris for, you know, but they just said they were going to stop being a touring band. So Motley Crue's not breaking up. They're just rejigging the whole apparatus.
Oh, Mitch, they're pulling the whole asterisk thing. It's like small print. The thing, the tour is called All Good Things Must Come to an End. They signed a contract and now it's like,
all bad things must come to an end. But who knows? I mean, they might, you know, maybe bring back Karabi and go do Crue songs with him, or get rid of Nick Mars and bring in
very unlikely.
They're going to do the Crue tour. They're going to do the Crue. They're going to do the Kiss convention thing now. And that's how they're going to play.
I don't think so. I think they're pretty serious about being done. I mean, you know, Vince Neil has hinted, oh, well, we might do something. But Nikki Sixx always sounds pretty definitive on, you know, hey, this is it. We're not going to do Motley Crue anymore. I mean, that's at least what I've been reading.
But we do have the news that Black Sabbath is doing a tour. It's called The End. So yes. I don't think they've signed the contract. We know Bill Ward isn't going to be taking part in The End.
Well, we don't know that. No drummer has been announced yet.
Right. We don't know that. They might still do it. But here's my thought on this, which is, you know, we are seeing a lot of this. You know, we just talked, I think, really passionately about what's happening with Lemmy. I think it's sort of good for bands to say, let's call it a day. I'll give you my two cents on what's happened in the past couple of months in my metal world. One is I didn't go see Motley Crue, and I was the biggest Motley Crue fan. I saw the first tour they did. I was there, you know, sort of fawning all over them in 1983 when they did the US Festival. I was guy in line for all of the albums and shows and you name it. And I could probably name you every lyric from every song and et cetera, right. et cetera. I have been done with seeing the band live for many years. I had no desire to go see them here. My sentiment was, I'm sure it's a great show. I know there's a lot of pyro. Whether the music is pumped in or it's live, it was irrelevant to me. I feel like my time with that band had already come to an end. And a real similar sentiment for AC/DC for me. You know, they came through playing these stadiums with, you know, 30, 40,000 people. It's not even all the way packed. The stadium
really? In Jersey, there was 50,000 people sold out. It was insane.
So I'm sure it was insane. But my feeling is, you know, look, Mark, you and I have talked about this before. Fly on the Wall tour. We've seen some pretty amazing things. I just feel like I've had my closure, if you know what I mean. Like there's nothing new that I need to do from them. And so there's that going on at the same time as bands announcing that they're done. And I hear Sabbath announcing that. And my sentiment is, if that's how they feel, great. If people want to still go see them, great. Again, I feel pretty much satiated with seeing them live. I don't need to see Sabbath live or feel I got to catch this because I'll never see them again. I feel like I already – it's a bit of a BTDT, you know, been there, done that for me. Mitch, how do you feel about the whole thing?
Well, you know, a little bit like you. I'm in that sort of been there, done that with a lot of bands these days, but – I want to go see Sabbath this one last time. If they come back, you know, as the extended The End tour or part two, or I'm not sure I'll go to the part two, but they're going to come through Montreal in February. Mm-hmm. And I think I sort of owe it to myself to brave a snowstorm or whatever's going to be going on and get out there. Now, on the other hand, AC/DC, I was with you. I saw them at the Olympic Stadium, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago on the black ice? I think that was what it was called. And I just went, yeah, I'm not into it. It sounds like hell in a stadium. It's not fun. It's not intimate. I'm done. And, you know, I think pretty much the same with Motley Crue, but they threw a curveball and they put in Alice Cooper. So
sure, that's a different story, right?
That's a must go.
I hear you on that. Mark, how are you on this whole scenario? Like, what are your feelings as a not so young rock fan anymore like us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really you know, divided inside. You know, there's part of me that feels like, you know, Zeppelin had it right. You know, they you know, or at least Robert Plant had it right. He never put that band back together for you know, a tour where they go out as old men and diminish the legacy of what they did back in the 70s and what was so just awesome. I mean, you could say the same thing about The Doors for some, you know, kind of, you know, but it's just like, it's like some of these bands, I feel like they go out and it's just not as good anymore. And that's upsetting. However, with Motley Crue and Sabbath and even Kiss and these groups, AC/DC, who I just saw last week at Giant Stadium, just 50,000 people packed, amazing. I get so emotional at the shows, and it brings back, even though they're these old guys, I'm an old guy too. I was a teenager when I used to go see them. There's something so emotionally fulfilling and even draining for me personally, seeing these guys go out there and do what meant so much to me, even though they're not in that top form anymore. It's a rewarding and you know, spiritual experience. It's going to be the same thing when I go see Star Wars in December, you know, and see those, you know, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill recreate their roles. It's going to be something highly emotional, and you know, they're not going to look like they did. They're not going to be as great as they were back in the day, but they're going to be there, and that's it's part of my life, and I love those people. They're almost family to me. You know,
you're way more evolved than I am, but I am looking way more forward to Star Wars than I am to seeing almost any of the bands you've mentioned, if I'm going to be fair. But you know, the Led Zeppelin comparison really is fascinating. You know, lately I've been sort of traipsing a bit back in time, and I was watching the Celebration Day, the sort of reunion tour they did at the O2 in London.
Yeah, one-off.
The one-off. I watched they were honored.
It's terrible.
They were honored by the what was it? They did a U.S. thing. They were honored for some award where Heart did Stairway to Heaven.
Well,
right.
They did
the Kennedy Honors. They got the Kennedy Honors.
They also did the Atlantic Records 40th anniversary show.
Right, and so they also had the Kennedy War Honors, and right. So there was some press, and there was some, you know, they're on Letterman, and they had, you know, Hart doing Stairway to Heaven, and Jack Black, and Lenny Kravitz, and I feel like those little things, however we feel about them, almost encourage me to go back and see the Zeppelin as you sort of really romanticize it in your brain. It's the theater of the mind that comes to life a lot more. And, you know, it's funny. That's really where a lot of the questioning that I'm sort of probing you guys for tonight came from, is because I watched that and I think, you know, it didn't ever get tired. It didn't ever get – and maybe in the opposite direction. Maybe they could have done a little bit more. But, you know, even if you watch like It Might Get Loud, the guitar documentary, which I hope the two of you have seen, because it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. And, you know, you just watch like – you know, the movie's going on. It's Jimmy Page. It's The Edge from U2, and it's Jack White from The White Stripes. And, you know, Jimmy Page takes out his guitar, straps it on, three of them sit around. He just does their, you know, da-na-na-na-na. And you just see the two guys just stand up. They're smiling. They can't believe they're watching what's happening. And – there was something about even that riff that we all know so well from Whole Lotta Love that still had magic to it. It wasn't weathered. It wasn't down. It wasn't Here They Go on Tour Again. And it's strange to be our age and in a place where music is either being forced to go away, there's the health issue to go away, or we never got what we wanted out of it. And it really makes me wonder, like, who are the artists who are consistently delivering? And one of them that came to mind was Iron Maiden. I feel that Iron Maiden, even though they keep releasing albums and keep touring, they just came out with the Book of Souls now, and I'm loving the album. I feel like I'm not tired of them. I feel like there's something fresh there. Deep Purple's like that too, where Rush a little bit too, where it just doesn't – it's not getting too exhausted. Am I crazy for thinking that way, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, with Rush, I might argue with you a little bit. I don't know. I just
– it's because I'm Canadian.
Yeah. I love Rush. You know, I saw him on the 30th anniversary tour, and I think that might be it for me, because I don't know. His voice just doesn't, it disappoints me a little bit. I mean, everyone gives Ozzy shit, Vince Neil shit, you know, Paul Stanley shit about his voice, but for some reason, Geddy gets a pass, and his voice is pretty much shot, in my opinion, on record and in concert. And I love Geddy, you know, I feel bad actually saying that, but
I don't even feel that way. It's funny to hear you say that. I don't feel that way at all, but that's our own.
He cannot, his range is as bad, if not, you know, well, as bad as Ozzy. I mean, he cannot hit the high notes. He can, I mean, it's, and to me, it's sad to watch him. That's a band who I think should not be out doing it anymore. They should hang it up. You know, I don't know.
Well, if I can interject, some of the bands you mentioned, Mitch, Iron Maiden, Rush, the reason they're not tired is because they're still focused on new music, and they're focused in their show on delivering a different spectacle each tour. You get different set lists, different, you know, musicianships. You go to Motley Crue, Kiss. They've been just going through the motions for 10 years. They might throw a little more pyro in, but it's the same 10 songs. It's the same shtick. It's the same. So, you know, and their albums are sounding the same. That's why we're tired of seeing those bands. But Iron Maiden, you know, listen, I'm not a huge, huge fan, but I'm excited when they come to town, because I know it's not what they saw last year, and it's not what I saw 2 years ago. And listen, same thing with Rush. They changed it up.
Well, Maiden, you know, too, they've gotten attacked for their set list here and there throughout the past decade.
Well, because they change it too much.
Playing like the whole new album, start to finish, you know. And
but it's courageous.
Yeah, and listen, I give him credit for doing that, and you know, to your point, I feel they're one of the, you know, only bands, one of the few bands out there of the old time bands, if you will, that are still very relevant.
Yeah,
and I think the Book of Souls is, you know, I really sat down and listened to it last night, actually, for the first time all the way through. And I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah, me too. It's funny. We're doing the same thing. We were co-listening. That's great.
Better than The Final Frontier. And I
agree.
That record, it was one of my least favorite Maiden records. And that's not saying much because I love every one of the records. But I think it's definitely a big step up from that. And you look at the songwriting credits, it's so nice to see, you know, Bruce and Adrian Smith writing songs together again, such a great songwriting team. And they're all really contributing. Dave Murray even has a credit on it. It's great stuff.
But that's the thing, right? It's like you these bands come out and they're just as old as these other bands that we're talking about. And that, there is that feeling of when you listen to it, you just feel like, yes, like this, it's good. Like there's some good stuff going on here. It's nice to hear that because it's almost like you're surprised by it.
Yeah. Well, you are. And I'll just keep repeating it over and over. They're focused on making new music. They're not like, well, we'll throw in a guitar part here, throw it in the blender, spit it out. Our fans will buy it. No, they're actually interested and involved in thinking, yeah, we want to, you know, further the legacy, not just rely on it.
Yeah, and there's a cohesion to it. Like you really can listen to Maiden through albums and sort of see progression. You may not love them all, but you have to respect the body of work that they're creating. I think Mitch, your point is exactly correct. So speaking of music, let's wrap this up by talking a little bit about what we've been listening to lately. Mitch, what's been on your ears?
Two brand new bands. Well, in fact, one not brand new, but the Biters, or just Biters. Electric Blood, a band out of, I believe, Atlanta.
Great name.
Incredible album. I mean, it's only 34 minutes long, which is fantastic. You can sort of walk around the block twice and hear the whole thing. And it's sort of Cheap Trick meets Ramones with sort of an 80s, you know, glam metal sensibility. I mean, it's just a really fun album. And yeah, definitely Biters, Electric Blood, worth getting. And then the other one is Backyard Babies, 4x4. I believe they're out of Sweden. They've been around for forever. And this new album is just, again, like the Biters, strong from top to bottom. Sort of punk meets Cheap Trick meets Ramones. Fresh sounding.
Stuff for me to listen to tonight. Yep. Thanks, Mitch. Mark, what do you got?
Well, you know, Mitch LaFon, you may disagree with me because I heard you talking about this on the last Metal Raps, but I am really impressed with the new Queensryche record, Condition Human, which I think totally recaptures the thing that made Queensryche great with those records like, you know, The Warning and Rage for Order and Mind Crime, that classic Queensryche sound. They have a producer who's a big fan of that, and I think he's really helped them tap back into this. And I haven't heard the new Jeff Tate thing yet, but it's hard for me to imagine that it's anywhere close to the new Queensryche, which comes out, I think, next month, Condition Human. I like the new Armored Saint a lot. I may have mentioned that. Win Hands Down. The new Ghost record, just blowing my mind. I don't know how you pronounce it, but Meliora or something like that.
I just say great the new stuff. Ghost record.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're so creepy. So we keep talking about them. They're so great. They're so creepy. They're so strange. Everything's great about that band.
And I'll say this about Queensryche.
A lot of people don't get them.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I was going to say Queensryche. Musically, it's a great album. It's just lyrically, it's a bit pedestrian. But musically, yeah, it sounds exactly like anywhere between 1984 and 1988 Queensryche. So bravo
for that.
That's
a sweet spot for me and Mark, though. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
a
sweet spot.
Listen, it's a great album. If you ask me on 10 what I would give it, you know, 7.5, 8, depending on, you know, if it's rainy or sunny outside kind of thing.
Right.
But it's just lyrically, it's sort of, you know, listen, they're not great texts, but some people listen for lyrics. Some people listen for just music. Musically, it's very strong. It's kudos, but lyrically, yeah.
I'm your go-to guy for Operation Mindcrime any old day, but I got to – yeah, if push came to shove, I might go Rage for Order. So I'm totally with you, right. Mark. I hear what you're saying. For me, well, there's three. One is we already mentioned Iron Maiden. Second one is a great Canadian band called The Tea Party. They just did a re-release 20th anniversary of an amazing album called Edges of Twilight, which if you've never heard, just because you're in the States or you never heard of these guys, power trio, absolutely incredible driving rock, edges on hard rock, but really driving sort of in that Zeppelin-y, bluesy, Doorsy kind of way. The other album I like, we haven't talked about this band, which you probably should at one point, is Wasp, Golgotha. Great album. I can't believe I'm saying this. Really, really, really strong. Okay. Great album.
I've not heard it.
Yeah, really, really great.
I've heard it. It's, you know, it's Wasp, but to be fair, I've never been a fan, you know.
I was a major fan back in the 80s, but right.
Are you
and even
Mark
into the
on?
Early 90s. I've not heard the new Wasp.
Okay,
some
but Mark,
of Black
if I said,
Lawless, like whole political stuff has kind of turned me off, but I will definitely check it out now that you're saying this.
But would you be with me or against me on Crimson Idol?
Oh, great record.
Okay, well, so then you're going to be all in on Golgotha. Anybody who is into that phase of the band when Blackie was like going into this idea of like I got to write the next Tommy by the Who, like that's this. This is like sort of the same vein of where he's going, and I think he's matured a lot. I think the sound is great. I think there's some crazy guitar solos on their great work. And again, I'm shocked I'm saying it myself too, but Wasp, check that out. Great, great new album.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Okay, so let's wrap up by just telling people a little bit about where they can find you and what's going on in your life. Mark, let's start with you.
Yeah, I wanted to mention real quick that Metal Raps has its own feed on iTunes. And initially, when we first started the show, I was also putting it out on the Talking Metal feed. I stopped that somewhere around episode 10 or so. I'm now feeding it through the Talking Metal feed. So if you're hearing this on Talking Metal and you just want to get this and not Talking Metal, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to Metal Raps. If you're hearing this on Metal Raps, you can also know that if you subscribe to Talking Metal, you will get this as well as a bunch of other Talking Metal episodes. I just feel it's the best way to get it to the most ears is to start putting it out on that Talking Metal feed again. You can find me on Facebook. We have a Talking Metal page. Please like it and stay connected with me there.
That's awesome. Mitch?
Check me out on Twitter at Mitch LaFon. Facebook page is One-on-One with Mitch. There you have it. And I'm surprised. No Guns N' Roses reunion talk? Oh, my
we'll
God.
We'll do it next year. Yeah. We promise.
I have theories. I have theories as to what's going on that I think...
2017. Okay. 2000.
Yeah. No, I think it's coming, but yeah.
Okay, well, this is gonna get so we're gonna hold that as we learn more for episode
Stadium
20 of Metal Raps.
That was Steven Adler.
Exactly. Okay, well, save it. You can always find me at Mitch Joel, and if you want to check out some stuff, check out notrouble.com/groove. It's my bass player's podcast. I'm saying it again here just because the brand new episode just went live, number 9, that I actually recorded Heavy Montreal with John Campbell, bass player of Lamb of God, and it was a long, fun half-hour-plus conversation with John, so check that out. And I mentioned it before as we were talking, but if you haven't seen the documentary, It Might Get Loud, I'd also recommend you check that out too. And as always, we'll be back real soon with episode number 20 of Metal Raps, so thanks for checking us out.
Thank you.